Well, first things first, I think it's an annual thing. We have Lads to Leaders going on, so a good portion of the church is out of town going to that. We're thankful for them, but unfortunately, you have to see my ugly mug today. So just bear with me. It should be, it's something I've been thinking about, obviously, for a couple months now when they told me. I was thinking about a subject that we could talk about, speak about, and I couldn't think of a better topic to speak about, especially with the visitors we may have and the people that are here. So, but first things first, I was talking to Charles beforehand. I was like, well, my dad always told me to tell a joke or do something kind of like an icebreaker to kind of get in the loosen me up because I'm the one stressed out when I'm up here. But just kind of to ease things over. Well, the joke was predicated on the fact that Charles would be up here, and he's not. So that, I was like, well, good grief, you're ruining my intro. No, but a lot of you might be wondering why Charles is sitting up here, not next to his lovely wife. But I'll get into that later, but I was also a little nervous, too, because normally I'm in the young adult class, and we are, discussing postmodernism in the church. And then when I came, we all were in this class today because I think Jeff is at Lads to Leaders. But then Bryant started speaking, and then the first point was, hear the word, and I was like, oh no, here we go. He's about to do my lesson. So I was like, oh no, I'm getting nervous. I never was in his class, so I didn't know what he was talking about. But luckily, he did. And I think that is kind of an indication of what I'm going to be speaking about today. One thing, the thing I'm going to be speaking about and the opportunity I have to talk about is the plan of salvation. It is the utmost importance to Christians. It is what we need to know. We as a church are putting a lot of emphasis, rightfully so, on evangelism. We need to evangelize. And honestly, as we've talked about as a church, that is one of the biggest tasks we have as a church and as a Christian, individually. Now, I say all that to say that while we must evangelize to bring lost souls to the church, we also need to feed the flock while they are here. We need to be able to feed them the truth. That is why I think it's a perfect opportunity to talk about the plan of salvation. If you're a visitor or someone who is thinking about becoming a member of the Lord's church, I hope this helps you in beginning your walk as a Christian. I know a lot of us here are Christians and know the plan of salvation in your heart. I know you do. But, and also too, it might not be the most exciting subject to think about because we've heard this 1,000 times. But I want to challenge you. I think it should be an exciting subject. I think it should be something that we are excited to hear about because it is the plan of salvation. It is one of the most important things we will ever do in our lives. So that's something to think about. Back to Charles. He is sitting up here, not here, but here, because I wanted to further emphasize each part of the plan of salvation. I kind of want to put an emphasis on each point. Now, I'm not doing this to fill in time because honestly, it might go over a little bit, which I apologize for the Easter lunch people, but just bear with me. I really want you to understand each part of the plan of salvation. And to do that, I think it's a great opportunity to dive deep into each part by having a song that has to do with each part of the plan of salvation. So each time I'm done with a point, I'm going to have Charles lead a song that has to do with that point. I know that sometimes we can kind of sing along, follow the notes, just go with the flow. But I really want you to look at the words that Charles brings forth. I think it's a great opportunity to not only have a sermon, being brought forth, but also songs of service to be emphasized, praise to God. And hopefully this helps with that. Hopefully this helps with the emphasis on each one of the points. So, to start off, I know a lot of y'all can say it as soon as I mention it, but the first part of the plan of salvation is to hear the word. We've got to hear it. Simple as that. We've got to hear it. Now, hearing is a pretty common word. We hear it all the time. That was for Rachel. Fun joke. The Greek word for hear is akouo, which is, in the New Testament Greek lexicon, means to hear. Often used in Scripture, meaning not only to hear, but to respond and obey. Now, that is the key. That is the key. Not only to hear, but to respond and obey. There are two ideas I want to share with you in regards to hearing the word. There's two ideas I want you all to focus on. Now, the first is that we as a church need to be sharing the word for people to hear to begin with. Evangelism goes hand in hand here. We need to be the ones bringing forth the word for people to hear. Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Now, I think that's pretty plain and simple. Isaiah 12:4, "And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted." People won't hear if we don't teach. We must put forth the effort to share the good news that we have in our very hands, this very Bible that we carry around and sometimes take for granted. We have to be the ones that share the word. That's where hearing starts. That's where hearing is. We must, and we are commanded to share the gospel, so we will have hearers to begin with. Now that leads to the second part of the hearing. When you have heard the good news, you must learn and study and understand what you are hearing. It is one thing to listen to the gospel. It's a whole other thing to be pricked in your heart, to be invested, to want to know more, to want to learn about our Savior. There's a total difference in that. You need to have a heart that is willing to hear. You need to be willing to humble yourselves and understand the gravity, the urgency, and the awesomeness of the beautiful gospel. You need to be able to do that. This is a start to becoming a Christian and being added to the Lord's church. It is just as important as all the other steps that we find in the plan of salvation. It is all part of the process. You cannot have one without the other. And that is going to be a common theme you'll see this morning. You must have all steps, and these are all important. Are you hearing the word?
We'll just be singing one stanza of each of these.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say,
sit up here, huh? Another thing before we get in the second point, that you'll notice is I'm keeping my glasses on. This is progress. Because normally I'd want to take them off and not see any of y'all. But I think this is progress. And I know Adam would be proud. But the second point I want to talk about, which, like I said, everybody that is became a Christian and has been a Christian for a very long time knows, believe. You must believe. This is step number two on your path to becoming a Christian and being added to the Lord's church. Like hearing the word, believing the word is just as important. Believing that the Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sins is very important. It's something we must do. Now, the Greek word for believe, now bear with me here, is pistuo, which means to have faith in and upon or with respect to a person or thing. It is to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ, to believe. Believing is an action done after hearing. You have heard the word, you have studied, you have come to a better understanding of the word of God. It is a building block for building your faith and becoming a Christian. Romans 10:9-10 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with one heart one believes, or with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now, we will be getting back to this verse in later points, but I want to focus on the believe part. What word do you notice that is in those verses that coincide with the word believe? It's heart. If you have a heart that is willing to believe, that is willing to understand, and is willing to believe the truth, that's what it takes. You must believe. As Gary read for us, John 8:31-32, if you're still there, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Believing is the next step in becoming a Christian. And like hearing, you'll hear this a lot. It is a just as important of a step as the rest. So we need to believe to start our journey as Christians.
I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe he's the
appreciate Charles for doing this because I talked to him about it beforehand and I was like, hey, we need, I was going to do songs with kind of emphasize each point. And he, I told him we could kind of ballpark, but he was like, he sent me a whole list and I was like, well, that'll do it. Those are good. Every one of them have to do exactly what I was talking about. You don't need help from me. So I really do appreciate Charles. And I really hope that you hear the words that are being sung. Like, you understand them. You see them. Because they are important to each point. Now, that leads us to our next step. Repent. The word repent was recorded as metanoia. Meta means after, and it bears the concept of a shift or a change, as the word that we might know, metamorphosis. Now, noia translates to mind. So, shift or change, mind. When it comes to the point of repentance, we understand that we have to turn away from our past sins, and we have to repent of those past sins. We shift or we change our minds to become better. We turn away from what separated us from God. That's something we must and should do. Now, Acts 2:38. I knew y'all would probably think we were getting there at some point, which luckily it goes with a couple of my points. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, like I said, we're going to be using this verse later in the lesson as well, but I want to focus on the first part, repentance. Like all parts of a plan, this has to be another one that we do. This is one that is just as important as the rest. Hebrews 6:1, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, but of faith towards God." Repentance is a change, a realization that we have been living in sin and we have been separated from God. That we have a willingness to put God first. Have you made that change? Have you repented of your sins? There's no better time to do that.
Loving below in this sinful world, are we
can't fight all the nervousness. I got to take the notes with me every time I go. I could just leave them up here. All right. The next part of the plan of salvation is to confess. Confession. Now, my dad always told me, which some of y'all know my dad, the Clouds especially, he said, every time I preach, the more scripture I use, the more I know I got right. And that's some of the best advice I could ever get from him for when I'm bringing forth the word, because that part you know. Now, I want to emphasize that I'm going to be putting a lot of scripture. I'm going to be throwing a lot of scripture through this one, but I want to emphasize confession, and I want you to really try and understand this next step. Like I mentioned before, every time, this is an essential part and just as important as all the others. We must confess that Jesus is Lord and He died for our sins. Let's look at a couple verses on confession. Kind of get a grasp on that. We'll go back to Romans 10, 9 and 10. "But if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Philippians 2, 10 through 11. "So that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father. 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12 says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called, and about which you have made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Now, let's get into confession. There are two forms of the same Greek root used for confession or for profession. It's homologio and eximologo. The compound term is from homo, the same, lego, to speak, or ex, or out of, and the basic meaning is to say the same thing, to agree with. Confession is acknowledgement of sinfulness in a public or private place, regarded as necessary to obtain divine forgiveness. When we confess that Jesus is Lord, we acknowledge what Jesus has done for us, what God has sent His Son to do. We acknowledge what we need to do to be added to the church. If you haven't confessed that Jesus is the Son of God and He died for you, we need to consider it.
I take the cross. I take the cross that my shadow for my abiding place. I ask no others on my path of life. I always praise.
This leads us to baptism. Baptism is essential for salvation. A lot of times we often hear from different religious sects or religions that this part of salvation is not necessary. It's just a if you want to part of the plan. Well, the reoccurring theme, if you haven't caught on by now, is each one of these steps are essential for the plan of salvation. They are important to one another, and you can't have salvation without all being involved. Acts 2:38, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" It didn't say, "Repent and you can be baptized." You could be baptized. It says, "And be baptized." I think that's pretty plain. John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." To me, that pretty much tells you the importance of baptism. You can't get more plain and simple than that. The meaning of the word baptism is baptizo in Greek, which is essentially to immerse or dip. This is another misconception that we have found in the world today that we need to be aware of. Baptism itself is an immersion. You must be fully immersed into the water as a symbol of the burial of Jesus, and then raised as a symbol of the resurrection. Once you have been immersed or baptized, your sins are washed away. Now, I'm luckily a good majority of the youth has gone to Lads Leader, so they don't have to hear this again, so they're happy about it. But I'm teaching the youth group, I think it's 7 through 12, on Wednesday nights with Noah. And part of my teaching that we're talking about, Noah is doing grace and faith, and I'm doing forgiveness. That is part of what I am teaching. Now, I gave an example of forgiveness that I think can be applied to baptism. I think it was a good example to use, and it was brought forth by Dan Winkler, which I thought was it was a great point to make. So let's think about a pipe cleaner. You got one. I know some are too young to get one, but you may still do. I don't know. But whenever you're in elementary school, they gave you a pipe cleaner. Your teacher gave it to you as kind of like a little craft or arts and craft. Well, when you first got that pipe cleaner, it was clean. It was straight as an arrow. It was great. Okay? Well, then you began messing with it. You began getting your oily fingers all over it. You've been twisted, mess it up, make it look awful. Well, some are beautiful. I'm sorry to offend. Okay. But the point is, whenever you take hold of that pipe cleaner, it is ruined. It is messed up. That's how we are when we are sinners, when we are of the age where we know that we are doing wrong. But whenever you mess up, in this teacher's case, you mess it up, you fumble it around, it looks bad. Well, the teacher gives you a brand new pipe cleaner, straight as an arrow, perfectly untouched. It is perfect. Well, that's what God gives us with baptism. When we realize we have sinned, when we realize that we come to the truth to know that we need to be baptized for the remission of sins, God gives us that straight, clean pipe cleaner. He gives us an opportunity to wash away our past sins and to begin anew, start brand new and fresh with Him. When we sin and are at the age of accountability, we tend to ruin that pipe cleaner. However, God gives us a way to give us that brand new pipe cleaner. He gave His Son to die on the sin or cross for our sins and to take our place. He gave us an avenue of baptism so we can put away the old man and be a new man in Christ. We are given a clean slate. We are given a clean slate. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you taken the next step in the plan of salvation?
There is a fountain
step in the plan of salvation. Live faithfully. Live faithfully. This might be the hardest part of the plan of salvation because we are not perfect. We sin. We fall short. We are not like Jesus in how He was perfect. We make mistakes daily. We sin daily. But being in Christ, being baptized into Christ, helps us to make decisions to repent and to come back to Him if we have fallen away. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God, who has called you into a fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then Hebrews 6, or 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We must always seek God. We must always strive to live righteously. And if we don't, then none of these steps before matter. We must have them all together. We must use them all together in the part of salvation. Which leads me to this question. Have you been hearing the word? Have you believed what the word says? Are you repenting of your past sins and confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and he died for those very sins? And lastly, are you baptized and living faithfully for him? If you haven't been baptized, now is the best time to start your path as a new Christian to follow Jesus. And if you have been baptized but have lost your way and you've fallen back into the pattern of sin, you have the opportunity to make things right this morning. If you need anything, please come forward as we stand.